Hello and welcome to another program in the series Great Tracks and Sidetracks, which, well, I've been running for quite a few years now, and it's another recorded program, so a little bit behind the time. So although I would like to mention the Olympics, you'll all be saying, yes, but that was weeks ago. So, but I will mention the Olympics briefly in a moment. But otherwise, yes, hello, it's Peter Fleming, and we're broadcasting 104.7 on Coast Access Radio. And I'm going to jump straight in with some a nice bit of music. Morning Was Broken by Cat Steven.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but that took me back right to my early school days when we were just at infant school. That was one of those songs that used to sing then. And for Cat Steven to come along and re-record it, whatever, when he did, a bit unusual, but nice song. Yeah, as I say, Olympics have been and gone. They're going this morning as I came out. It's the closing ceremony today. I have to say, I didn't take really any interest in it at all until yesterday afternoon when, or yesterday morning, it was the final of the men's curling. And you might say, well, it's a funny thing to take an interest in. I guess it's because recently my wife and I, we've been going to Twilight Bowls at Wyke and I Bowls Club, and we've just joined. I'm looking for some woods and things, so we've actually joined. So, the technique is sort of similar. You go bowling down a long long way, although you're rolling a ball, but sliding one of the stones down. We were absolutely stunned at the accuracy with which these guys were able to do it. It was just phenomenal. But a bit like green bowls, watching on the telly, you can say, well, it's pretty boring, but it's not boring. These people are very clever at it. And, of course, we've got the curling rink here in this country down south, haven't we, on the South Island. My wife and I went there a few years ago just after COVID, and we pitched up looking forward to having a curl, a slide, to be told, oh, no, we're closed down. They're closed down for a week or so every 20 years or something. And we hit it bang on. So we didn't manage to get there. So we still haven't done any curling. Would like to try it sometime. Anyway, I babble on and on. Let's get back to some music. And my next track is... It's Peter Sarsted. Where Do You Go To, My Lovely?
You talk like Marlene and you dream, and you dance like Zizi Jamais. Your clothes are all made by Balmain, and there's diamonds and pearls in your hair. Yes, there are. And you live in a fancy apartment off the boulevard Saint-Michel, where you keep your Rolling Stones records and a friend of Sacha Distel. Yes, you do. But where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Oh, won't you tell me the thoughts that surround you? I want to look inside your head. Yes, I do. Well, I've seen all your qualms that you got from the Sorbonne, and the painting you stole from Picasso. Your loveliness goes on and on. Yes, it does. And when you go on your summer vacation, you go to Joie-les-Bains with your carefully designed topless swimsuit. You get an even suntan on your back and on your legs. And when the snow falls, you're found in St. Moritz with the others of the jet set. And you sip your Napoleon brandy, but you never get your lips wet. I know you don't. But where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone your bed? Oh, won't you tell me the thoughts that surround you? I want to look inside your head. Yes, I do. Your name, it is heard in high places. You know the Aga Khan, and he sent you a racehorse for Christmas, and you keep it just for fun, for a laugh. And they say that if you get married, it'll be to a millionaire. But they don't realize where you came from, and I wonder if they really care or give a damn. Where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? You better tell me the thoughts that surround you. I want to look inside your head, yes I do. Well, I remember the back streets of Naples, and two children begging in rags, both touched with a burning ambition to shake off their lowly bone tags. They tried. So look into my face, Marie Claire. Remember just who you are. Then go and forget me forever. But I know you still bear the scar deep inside. I know where you go to, my lovely, when you're alone. come new. 'Cause I can look inside your head.
British passports. Now, this is a subject which is has cropped up and is dear to a lot of people, I think, at the moment, and it's also to me. I mentioned it on this programme a few weeks ago, and since then there's been a lot more in the news. If I could just clarify, I mean, I've looked into this quite a bit because, as I say, it has affected me. Everybody's a bit unhappy about it, about the way it's been handled, and I think we're justifiably a bit peeved about it. So anyway, the British High Commissioner here in New Zealand said she's sorry, dual citizens. Now, it's us that are the problem, where you've got dual citizenship. I have a British passport, I have a New Zealand passport, and I also had an Australian passport, but that's actually expired, but it still comes into the equation. So the British High Commission says she is sorry that dual citizens are finding a change to passport requirements hard to adjust to. Well, if they'd told us a bit more about it, we probably wouldn't find it quite so difficult. So there's a lot of worried travellers around who only just learnt about this requirement for a British passport, and they've booked holidays and everything, of course. So to try and sum it all up, and this is partly quoting the British High Commission, from the 25th of February, i.e., couple of days' time, people travelling to the UK will need a visa, an electronic travel authority, ETA, or a valid UK passport. Now, the ETA is something that's been introduced by a lot of countries. Now, what documentation travellers need depends on their nationality and the purpose of their visit. So apparently the UK's representative in Wellington, Iona Thomas, said the UK had been in touch with the New Zealand government ahead of the changes. Well, pity they didn't get in touch with us. So in the future, New Zealand nationals going to the UK for a visit will need an electronic travel authorisation. And this can be applied for online and cost $37. And in my case, my wife can do that. She travels on an Australian passport. She also has dual citizenship with now a New Zealand passport. But we're talking about getting into Britain, so she doesn't have to have a British passport. So she can travel on her New Zealand passport with an ETA costing just $37. How jolly nice. Unfortunately, if you're a British national, you can't use an ETA. So if you have held or currently hold British citizenship, including if you are a dual national, this is me, you cannot use an ETA to enter the UK. You must travel on a British passport or another passport with a certificate of entitlement. So here comes another issue with me and my wife, because she holding, for example, her New Zealand passport, she could get, and she used to have on her Australian passport to get into the UK, she used to have this certificate of entitlement or right of abode, which is a little sticker that used to go in her passport. And it meant when she arrived in the UK, she showed that and they said, yes, come on in, you are welcome. I should add that this is because her mother was British and married her father, who was Australian, but the essence being, because her mother was British, Claire had this right of abode in the UK. And she could still do that. She could have a certificate of entitlement in her New Zealand passport or her Australian passport, if she still got one. But the British government very kindly charged something like about £580 for the privilege of that, and she stopped having that put in her passport some time ago. So that's a colossally expensive item to get, is a certificate of entitlement. But you'll need that if you're intending to go and live in the UK for any length of time. So I can't. So she could have her New Zealand passport and an ETA, $37, gets into the UK. I can't use an ETA. I have got to have my British passport. So I've just renewed. I'm in the process of renewing that, doing it online, but I still had to send my old passport, my expired Australian passport, and a photocopy of every page in my New Zealand passport to the UK. So the UK have kindly charged me £127, that's nearly $250, for my new passport, and the New Zealand Post have kindly charged me $122 for the package, including the two passports and all the paperwork to send it to the UK. So along with a lot of people, I'm a bit peeved about all this, but that's the situation we're in. So I'm now waiting for a new passport. Originally, I was not going to get a new passport. I was going to travel to the UK, I thought, on my New Zealand passport with an ETA. Wishful thinking. It's a bit complicated. There is a lot online if you're still confused about it. Have a look in there. But it's taken a little bit of wading through. But I'll leave it at that. So there you are. Pretty much see it. It's going to cost us quite a bit of money, one way or another, to go to the UK in the future. And if you've got children who have a right to British citizenship, I think you'll find that you're all over a barrel on that one, and that they will have to get UK passports in order to get in the UK. And now you're getting very expensive.
The whispers in the morning of lovers sleeping tight, all rolling by like thunder now, as I look in your eyes, I hold on to your body and feel each move you make. Your voice is warm and tender, a love that I could not forsake, 'cause I am your lady, and you are my man. Whenever you reach for me,
You may be aware that currently at Te Papa is an exhibition called Breathe, and it's a very unusual sort of thing. My wife and I went last week. It costs $30 just to... It's an immersive experience, and you can just walk around and see the sort of the huge, massive digital displays describing, well, breathing fundamentally. And for an extra $10, if you pay $40 each, you get a virtual reality experience where you sit in a chair and you find yourself sort of floating in space, and you can spin around in this chair. It's very comfortable, and you can look up and down and round and everything, and you appear to be sort of way, way out there in space, and there's this, these streams of bubbles that are flowing past. And the overall experience is sort of to demonstrate that as you breathe in and out and oxygenate your blood and then breathe out carbon dioxide, so trees take in that carbon dioxide, circulate it around and pump out oxygen. And it's a demonstration of this sort of a cyclic event that keeps us all alive. It's a fascinating thing. And I'd recommend you to go. It's not too expensive, really. And it's on till, I think, the 27th of April. So you've still got time to go. And it wasn't busy when we were there. But it's well worth going. It's very, very unusual. And we thought it was a good opportunity for us to experience a bit of a virtual reality, which you don't get the chance to do every day, do you? So there we are. That's Breathe at Te Papa. Strongly recommend it. And so to news from the International Express. And my first one this week, Euro Tour for Song Contest Birthday. Well, this is the Eurovision Song Contest. And I don't know what you think about it. It's something I used to enjoy, but it's gone very weird, hasn't it? But a lot of weird people, I'm sure a lot of ordinary people, thoroughly enjoy it, but not quite my cup of tea, I think, is the way I put it. Anyway, Eurovision Song Contest has announced a live tour to celebrate its 70th birthday. Wow. Well, I hate to say it, but I think I could remember the first one. That's 70 years ago. Yeah. Oh, dear. Yes, I can. I, as a small child, used to sit and watch it, and I thought it was okay then, but it's changed a lot since then. Anyway, the tour is set to feature some of the most memorable performers from past decades, but the lineup has not yet been revealed. I wonder where they're going to dig them up from. The European Broadcasting Union confirmed that the tour will also feature performances from 10 of this year's entrants. right. Forgive me laughing. The tour begins at London's O2 Arena on June the 15th and will go on to Hamburg and Milan, Zurich, Antwerp, Cologne, Copenhagen, Amsterdam, Paris and Stockholm. Wow, pretty expensive business. And one wonders at what sort of audiences they're going to get at it. They said they wanted to do something truly unique and special to mark the milestone of 70 years. Well, there you are. Oh, what a shame it's not coming here. Oh, dear. Oh, well, never mind. And don't forget, if you want to go to London to watch it, check that passport before you go.
Mr. Bean, in the middle of a dry spell, Jimmy Rogers on the
Aircraft enthusiasts may be aware that it's just 50 years since Concorde first took to the skies on a commercial basis. It'd been flying for several years before that, of course, on proving flights, but the first commercial flight took place on the 21st of January 1976. And there's a couple of things been issued if you're into collecting memorabilia. There's a 50p souvenir coin of Concorde. And there is also a set of stamps being issued in the UK, a set of 12 stamps marking this anniversary. And the supersonic jets are depicted throughout their service life up to the final commercial trip in 2003. What a sad year that was. Set includes four stamps on a miniature sheet, two of which are reissues of 1969 creations by influential stamp designer David Gentleman. David Gold, Director of External Affairs and Policy at Royal Mail, said these designs pay tribute to the innovation, elegance and engineering excellence that made Concorde a symbol of British ingenuity and ambition. Aye, aye, those were the days, eh? Follow on from that previous track by Alana Miles, Black Velvet, here's Amy Winehouse with Back to Black. I think this sort of, to me, similar sort of music.
Same old, same bed.
You might have seen on the news recently the operation that's having to take place down at Moa Point in Wellington to clean up seabirds and things that animals, but mainly seabirds, I believe, have been caught up in the rather disastrous sewage problems down there. And it's remarkable how people will rally around and help things like animals like that. And it brings me nicely onto this one, which is in the UK, of course, helping our toads to cross the roads. Volunteers have helped more than 2 million toads safely across roads on their annual spring migration during the past half century. Froglife said these toad patrollers were vital to help a species in widespread decline, with numbers down 41% in 40 years. A record number of toad patrols were in operation in 2025, with 280 volunteer groups moving 156,227 of the amphibians across roads that cut across migration paths to breeding ponds. Volunteers go out on wet nights early in the year with torches and buckets looking for those in need of help. At some sites, there are even road closures for the season. I don't know, it sort of just restores your faith in human nature a bit, doesn't it, when you hear about things like that. Probably, I don't think they'd be doing the same sort of thing for cane toads in Australia, but these are the rather nice ones and the harmless ones in the UK. And yes, they have to go back to the same place every year to do their spawning. Fantastic. Great stuff for volunteers there. You might think I'm being a bit premature with this next track, but little doubt that there's something in the air at the moment, isn't there? There's just that little bit of chilliness late afternoon and just that strange bit of chilliness. It's different to any other time of the year in the mornings, and it's telling us that autumn is not far away. We should still be in the thick of summer. Well, we are, aren't we, really? But nevertheless, it's just that little tinge of autumn. So here's Justin Hayward.
The summer sun is fading as the year grows old, and darker days are drawing near. The winter winds will be much colder now you're not here. I watch the birds fly south across the autumn sky, and one by one they disappear. I wish that I was flying with them. Now you're not here. Like the song through the trees, you came to love me. Like a leaf on a breeze, you blew. Gentle rain falls softly on my weary eyes, as if to hide a lonely tear. My life will be forever autumn, 'cause you're not here, 'cause you're not here, 'cause you're not here. Guess you're not here. 'Cause you're not here. 'Cause you're not here.
People of my generation, and I know I go on about it a bit, but to us baby boomers, well, we can remember quite clearly the days back in the UK before pop radio, when we had the Light Programme and whatever it was, the Light Programme and Home Service and things like that. Very, very BBC and very classic. And in order to bring the new world of pop music into our homes, we had these converted trawlers and ships that floated off just off outside the limit, legal limit in the North Sea, Radio London, Radio Caroline, various vessels like that. And they went out there with a gang of young people, and they put on a small transmitter and started beaming across to the British mainland pop music. And it was an absolute revelation. All we'd had up until then was a rather scratchy reception of Radio Luxembourg, which is the best we could do underneath the bedclothes with our little trannies. But anyway, along came the pirate radios, pirate vessels, and beamed these pop music into our homes. And along with them came various DJs. And I'm talking now about this, specifically Tony Blackburn. And there's a big article here about Tony, about just about his life and things. He's just turning 83, is Tony. But he has no intention of turning the mic off just yet. "I don't want to retire," he said. "I never had a wish to. What's the point in retiring if you're enjoying what you do? Keeps your mind active as well. And here I am at Coast Access Radio, keeping my mind active." Well, always a pleasant fellow, Tony. He's never had any scandal or anything about him. And he's maintained a top spot with Radio 2, the BBC, for many years, because these people, a lot of the DJs on the pirate radios, came across to the mainland and joined the BBC because they knew what they were doing when it came to pop music. So what does he say? He said the best decade for music was the 60s. It was an era that he's really glad he grew up in because it was exciting. Well, he's absolutely right, it was, he said. But the best album ever is Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. Now I love Jill Scott, Alicia Keys and Bruno Mars, but I wouldn't say we're in a brilliant era for music. Still full of energy, Tony has spent 62 years at the top of his game, helping launch pirate station Radio Caroline on a ship in 1964 and progressing through numerous stations from Radio 1 to Smooth, Capital and Classic Gold. There we are, and he's still going strong, so good for you, Tony. Let's see if I'll take you up on what you say there. Let's find a Marvin Gaye track for you.
Hands to make me blue with some other
William Shakespeare, well, like him or not like him, you've got to admit he was had quite an influence as a character. And you occasionally get these people who come up with these theories about who wrote Shakespeare's plays. Did he write them or did somebody else? Well, listen to this. Feminist authors' claims in barred taste. I shouldn't have said that, really. Identity politics continues to inflict its lunacies on our cultural life. So a new diversity initiative has been launched to counter official fears that the countryside is too white and too middle class. This is virtue signalling, grievance-mongering, woke bureaucracy gone mad. Meanwhile, a new book by feminist historian Irene Coslett claims that Shakespeare's great works were not written by the bard at all, but by a Jewish woman of North African descent. The person who's writing this little article says, I am reminded of the line from Macbeth. 'Tis a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Where do people get their ideas from? Shakespeare, he didn't write them. A Jewish woman of North African descent. Well, I suppose it ticks one or two boxes these days. Here's a little, here's a Shakespeare theme for you. It's Shakespeare's his sister.
If this world is wearing thin and you're thinking of escape, I'll go anywhere with you. Just wrap me up in chains. But if you try to go alone, don't think I'll understand.
Stay,
stay with me.
tell if you can break the spell back in your own world.
And there we are, that's Shakespeare's Sister, bringing us to the end of yet another programme in the Great Tracks and Sidetracks series with me, Peter Fleming. I've been broadcasting from Mahara Place here in Waikanae on Coast Access Radio 104.7, and I shall be back same time, same place next week, all being well. In the meantime, bye for now, take care.
This programme was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the Access Media website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.